want to say thank you so much, Father, for this day. Father, thank you, Lord, for the breath of life, Lord God, that's given by you. Thank you, Father, for every experience, Father, of life, Lord, because it makes our life here in this world richer, Father, and our understanding of you, Lord, and your grace and your love for us so much more. Lord, we just thank you so much, Father, for this time that we get to come together like this, Lord, in your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you that in this country, Father, that is allowed still, Father, that we can meet in your name, Father. We can express, Lord God, our love and our heart for you, that we can receive your direction from you. Father, these are gifts, Father God, and blessings from you, Father. And so right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, we just come before you as your children, Lord. We come before you, Father, with earnest expectation, Lord, that you will speak to us, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all that's going on around us, all that we are allowed to experience and be involved with and be part of. And Lord, we just receive it all as a gift from your hand, Father. Lord, right now, Father, we leave every care and every concern at the side. Lord, you said in your word to be anxious for nothing, Lord, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make our requests known unto you. And so we do that this day, Father. And Lord, our request right now, Lord, is that we could just rest in your presence, Father. And Lord, leave everything at the side, Lord, and just be your children, Father. And enjoy, Lord, this day. Because Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So Lord, right now, as we open up your word, Father, I just pray, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for the free flow of your Holy Spirit. Father, we leave aside every care and every concern, Lord God. And Lord, we pray, Father God, and we just yield ourselves to your Spirit. Father, right now, I get out of the way, Lord. I invite your Spirit to speak through. Lord, you know where every heart is, Lord God, and I pray and we pray that your Spirit minister to each and every person, that we all grow strong in the faith, Lord God, and strong in our relationship and connection with you. One body, Lord God, in Christ Jesus. Go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay. I think we'll go here. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. So, easy way to get there. Sometimes with the smaller books, the pages. Okay. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 4 through 10 says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and he and his word is not in us."
මේ දේවල් ලියා යවන්නේ අපේ ප්‍රීතිය සම්පූර්ණ වන පිණිසය. අප විසින් උන්වහන්සේගෙන් අසා තිබෙනා වූ උඹලාට දන්වන්නා වූ පණිවිඩය නම් දෙවියන් වහන්සේ ආලෝකය බවත් උන්වහන්සේ තුළ කිසිම අන්ධකාරයක් නැති බවත්ය. අපි උන්වහන්සේ සමග පංගුකාරකම ඇතැයි කියමින් අන්ධකාරයෙන් හැසිරෙමු නම් අපි බොරු කියනවා මිස සැබෑව නොකරමු. නමුත් උන්වහන්සේ ආලෝකයේ සිටිනාසේම අපි ආලෝකයෙන් හැසිරෙමු නම් අපට එකිනෙකා සමග පංගුකාරකම ඇත්තේය. උන්වහන්සේගේ පුත්‍ර වූ යේසුස් වහන්සේගේ ලේද සියලු පාපවලින් අප පවිත්‍ර කරන්නේය. අපට පාපය නැතයි කියමු නම් අපි අපම රවටා ගනිමු. සැපයව අප තුළ නැත. අපේ පාපව තියාදෙමු නම් අපේ කවු අපට සමා කරන්ටත් සියලු අධර්මිෂ්ඨ කමින් අප පවිත්‍ර කරන්ටත් උන්වහන්සේ විශ්වාසව ධර්මිෂ්ඨව සිටින සේක. අපි පව් කළේ නැතයි කියමු නම් අපි උන්වහන්සේ බොරුකාරය කරමුවන්. උන්වහන්සේගේ වචනද අප තුළ නැත.
Okay. Okay, so again, contrast this with John chapter 10, where Jesus said, that, you don't have to go there, but you can check there later, but John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus came that we might have life and have an abundant life, a full life in the earth. And here, when John is writing here, he says that, and these things that I wrote unto you, that your joy may be full. Okay, so how is the joy made full in us? This is now practical. We need something practical. How is the joy of the Lord made full in us? How is the abundant life that Christ Jesus wanted for us to have made full in us? Do you ever wonder these things? Very good. When you follow the Word of God, the experience itself. Okay. If you keep going here, it says, and we say that we have fellowship. Oh, wait. No, verse 5. And this message we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. He is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. So He's a way, He's a direction. We're moving towards something. And in that process of going that way, there is life, there is light, there is peace. So the whole Hebrews chapter 12 thing about, now therefore, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, cast off every weight, run the race, yeah? Have you ever tried running with weight? Have we ever done some games like that with the kids? Something like that here? It's not an easy thing, is it? It's not an easy thing to run with weight. I think back in the 80s there was a trend in America for a little while. They had these ankle weights that you could tie on your feet. They were like sand things, and you put them on both your feet. And then and people go running with them on. I don't know if people use them much anymore because it probably hurt their joints really bad. But they did it to make it more difficult for them to run. Do you remember those trees?
We used to put them on and run the stairs and fell.
Yeah, yeah. So you did it to make it more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a...
It's like weights. It has a GoPro and it puts on your... We all do.
Yeah. It's something that people used to make themselves more difficult, the exercises more difficult so that they could get stronger, but it made it more difficult for them to do the process. Yeah, and Teresa has bad knees now. Okay, Therese, did you use the weights for training or did you use the weights in your race?
Just for
Okay. Okay. So nobody puts ankle weights on for their races. In fact, if you watch the Olympics and you watch some of the people that are racing there, they even have special shirts, special fabrics that even catch less wind. Everything to have the least amount of resistance for the race that they're running. Even this time, you know, if you watch the swimming at all, if you saw that this time in swimming, like every time they broke an Olympic record or a world record. And part of the reason why, a big part of the reason why, was because this time they had these new suits, new technology that had come out, swimsuits. Each one of those suits cost at least $400. And 40,000, and you can only use those suits, and you can only use those suits for about 8 to 10 races, and then you can't use them anymore. But the fabric in those suits, actually is like, because I've used something similar before, is like, it's faster than your own skin. So it's faster in the water than your own skin. So if you jump in the water, you feel like you're just, like, you're just sliding through the water. Now you notice they don't have it on the arms because they're pulling with their arms. They want resistance there. The full length bodysuit, yeah? Okay, why? Why all of this? All of this effort? To win. To win the race. In fact, I would venture, if you look at the Olympics, not a single person won those races unless they were wearing those suits. So also shows you too, very difficult for countries like Sri Lanka to afford to compete. No, I'm serious. That's what races are becoming. But so those that are running this race, in order to be able to compete at that level, are doing all that's necessary to have the least resistance possible to be the most effective competitor possible. Okay. Is somebody forcing them to put the suit on? No, they're choosing. They're choosing to, as an athlete, as a competitor, to do what they can for the most effective race. Okay, how did they figure out that something is faster and better? I know for myself when I was competing last time that the difference, I knew the difference without it, and then I knew the difference when I had it. Okay, now practical, back to life. Life here in this world, us living life in this world. You know in your life what is working and what is not when it comes to your relationship and your walk with God.
සම්බන්ධතාවය තුළ අපි දන්නවා මොකද්ද වැඩ කෙරෙනද වැඩ නැකෙනද මොකද්ද කියලා අපි දන්නවා.
You know what makes you stronger and you know what depletes your spirit.
අපි දන්නවා අපිව ශක්තිමත් කරන්නේ මොකද්ද අපේ ආත්මය අසතුටු කරන්නේ මොකද්ද කියලා.
This is between you and the Father.
මේක මම දෙවියන් වහන්සේත් අතර තියෙන දෙයක්.
Because in all honesty at the end of the day it's your connection with him.
Yeah, ඒක අන්තිමටම අවංකභාවයේ ගත්තොත් දෙවියන් වහන්සේත් මමත් අතර තියෙන සම්බන්ධතාවය තමයි මේක තියෙන්නේ.
This is your race.
මේක ඔබගේ දිවිම.
And so the instructions even in scripture is there is a good way to run the race. Now in the way of running the race also keep in mind that Jesus when he came he said look I came that you might have abundant life.
දැන් මේක ජීවිත තුල අපි හිතන්නේ යේසුස් වහන්සේ ගැන හිතන යේසුස් වහන්සේ කිව්වා මම ආවේ ඔවුන්ට අධික ජීවනය දෙන්න කියලා.
So God's intention is for us to have a full life.
යේසුස් දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ එකම අරමුණ අපි සම්පූර්ණ ජීවිතයක් ගත කරන්න කියලා.
A life full of his joy.
අපේ උන්වහන්සේගේ ප්‍රීතිය සම්පූර්ණයෙන්ම තියෙන ජීවිතයක්.
A life with his purpose.
අපේ ජීව අරමුණක් තියෙන ජීවිතයක්.
And you know sometimes what happens is we get used to something less. Our expectations get set at something less. Recently I was talking to a friend of mine and this friend was telling me just their expectation from life because they had so many bad experiences their expectation of what life could and should be was so low. So their expectation of what their life could be was here. Whereas God, He, throughout Scripture, if you look at the people that He took and the people that He grabbed their lives and made something out of them, if they didn't take Him at His word, they would have never experienced that life He had for them. Flip to Romans chapter 12. Romans, that's a special annex version there. And verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
දෙවියන් වහන්සේ විසින් පිළිගත හැකි වූ යාගයක් ඔප්පු කරන හැටියට දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ දයාව නිසා උඹලාගේ නිහරි. ඒ උඹලාගේ ආත්මික සේවය වේ. උඹලා මේ ලෝකයේ ආකාරයට සමාන නොවි. දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ කැමැත්ත එනම් යහපත් වූ පිළිගත යුතු සම්පූර්ණ වූ දේ කුමක්ද කියා දැනගන්නා පිණිස සිත අලුත් කර ගැනීමේ අන්‍ය ආකාරය ඇත්තෝ වෙන්න.
Okay, back to running this good race. Least resistance possible, so you're just like really fast, like the wind. Okay, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means every day you live, your body is a sacrifice unto God. And because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and His Spirit lives in you, you live your, this is your reasonable service is to dedicate it unto God. And to take care of the body that you have and that which you do with it is that which is glorifying unto God. But not just for that sake, but also with purpose. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, we also need a new mind. We also need a new perspective. The world will seek to conform us. The world will seek to make us think a certain way. The world will seek to tell you, you know those ankle weights you've been wearing, you'll be stuck with those for your entire life. In fact, all you can expect is next time to be carrying dumbbells too and trying to run with that.
Sorry?
All you can expect is more weight in your life. The world conforms people to this thinking. Religion conforms people to this thinking. So even Jesus said, look, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus gives us a speed suit. He gives us his yoke is light. Whereas the world will continue to shackle its people more and more and more into more and more bondage, more and more stuck in the world system. But we have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you willing to allow for your mind and everything that you've ever thought to be changed? Are you willing for God to restructure every thought you've ever had? Or is there something that you hold so dear that God couldn't reshape that thought because you hold that closer than anything else? You hold that thinking closer than anything else. So I am a Sinhalese national, I am a Tamil, I am a American, I am French, I am what? I'm not French, but... Or can you lose your identity and just be someone who belongs to Him? There is no Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus. There is no Sinhalese, no Tamil in Christ Jesus. There is only those that know Him. Do you realize that? There's no ethnic groups. I mean, yes, before God's throne, God has a cross section that He pulled in from all over the world, but now they're one in Him. The point being that the wheat and the tares grow together all around the world. But those that are His, He pulls up and they're made one in Him. John 17, Jesus' prayer, verse 20-21 said that I pray that they might be one in us.
යොහන් 17 යේසුස්තුමිට තමයි ආඥා කරේ. ඔවුන් සියලු දෙනාම අප තුළ ඒකත්වයක් වන පිණිස කියලා.
So they've been consummated with the Spirit of God and there's no separation between them and the Father.
ඉතින් දෙවියන් වහන්සේ තුල ඔවුන්ට අතර කිසිම වෙනසක් ඇති නොවන පිණිස.
So if you're to see them, you see a reflection of God.
ඉතින් අපි ඔවුන් දිහා දැක්කොත් අපිට පේන්නේ දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ ප්‍රතිරූපයයි.
So can you lose and can we lose that stronghold in our thinking of who we are, what we're about? Will you let go of all that you've ever known to receive what God has for you? Or will you hold on to it? Because ask yourself, are Jesus promised an abundant life, yes? He's not a man that he should lie. So, if abundant life is not there, what's missing? Ah, if it's not there, then what's missing now? What's missing in your relationship and your walk with Him? Jesus promised peace, right? My peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, I give not as the world gives, right? Okay, do you have peace? Do you have that internal inside of your soul? Is it still? Is it calm? If not, why not? Why not? Or do we just go on through life plotting and plotting and plotting? No peace, no joy, no fulfillment. Just hoping at some point that either Jesus will come split the sky and get me out of here or that I'll die and go to be with Him, right? Because I don't want to live another day in this miserable world, right? Does that sound like the abundant life? Yet how many people do you know that live like this? Kingdom people. People that say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. I raised my hand at the altar, yes? I said the magic prayer. I came and I said it, and then they got a special pamphlet and I went back and joined the cell group. Okay, where is the abundant life? Where is that abundant life? Jesus said, I came that they might have it. Those that were instructing the early church, when they wrote letters, they said, look, I'm writing this so that you know that you can receive it. Help keep you on track. So why now this day when you look around is there so few that know this life? Why? I'm opening it up. Ask why? We don't give
everything.
We try to run the race with weight. We don't give everything to God and we carry it. Yeah, I'll that's definitely part of it. When do the scriptures become real? When does this cease to be a book that you read in the morning before you go somewhere? It becomes real when you now have to live it. It becomes real when the Word, Christ Jesus is the Word, that Word is manifest in you. And that Word clashes with everything else in you that's not Him. And that Word clashes with the world and what the world has told you. That Word clashes with the thinking that we've had. Now, I also have to say, the Word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Ephesians 6, yes? It's that double-edged sword that clashes and cuts. And there's people that speak the Word, they use this Bible, but it's not in connection with the Spirit of God. And the byproduct is they will reinforce the world. Because anything not in connection with the Spirit of God, John chapter 15, is detached from the vine, is dead. Anything not in connection with the Spirit of God is dead. So God wants us to have a renewed mind, a transformed mind. So that, verse 2, ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a purpose with all of this stuff. There's a reason for this. There's a reason for your body to be dedicated to the Father. There's a reason for your mind to be transformed in accordance with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So that now you can know the will of God and the plan that He has. So now you can walk this thing out. So now Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now you can go on that way with Him. You know, how many times have you had people come up to you and say, I really want to know the will of God for my life? I really want to know what God's plan is for my life, yes? Brother, what's God's plan for me? What's God's will? Okay, if you really want to know, here's a couple things that might help you. Are you willing to go through those? We just covered them. Are you willing to put your body there before the Father and let Him and dedicate that to Him? Or is there something in this world that holds you more than you would want the will of God? Are you willing to allow God to transform your mind, give you a new mind and a new heart, or are you still holding on to what your grandmother told you 50 years ago?
Are
As sweet and as sincere as she may have been, she could have very well been sincerely wrong. So we have to allow the Spirit of God to test and prove that word in us. See, something that I'm also learning too, and this is part of my own journey with Christ, is that this word has to be practical and bear itself out in us. So for example, when God speaks to us about forgiveness, so Matthew 18, I think that's right, when he speaks to us about forgiveness, and he instructs and he says, look, forgive those that have transgressed against you, forgive those that owe you, let people go. And he speaks about those that refuse to forgive, how they're given over to torturers. And now you see it in life. You see it. Where you see people that have held on to, and even this last week I've seen it, somebody that will hold on to bitterness for things that have happened in their lives and hold on to that. How they now spend their days being tortured. In their minds and in their hearts. And it affects even their physical bodies and even their face and their expression. But then you also see in Scripture, here's the tip. If God instructs you to do something, He will also empower you to do it. So when God instructed His people to do something, He also gave and equipped them for the task at hand. So Moses going to see Pharaoh. Okay, here, I'll give you some miracles that you can do. Even the early church, Jesus told them, look, don't leave Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1, until you get this power for the job. So God, when He gives you an instruction, He also empowers you to be able to do it. Now this is again too, where now we have that clash in our soul. Where the will of God, the abundant life that God wants for us, now clashes with the thinking that we have in our soulish mind. And do we yield to the Spirit of God? Do you allow the Spirit of God to make that change in you? Because truly, it's only Him that can do that. Because look at Peter, classic example. Who he was before he received the empowering of God and who he was after. When God equipped him for the task at hand, he then stood firmly in front of the very same people that crucified Jesus and said, and gave them the truth in Acts chapter 2. So there is there is a change that happens, but it's God that does that in us. Now what we can do is Jesus' instruction and in prayer in Matthew 6. When he's teaching us to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is where we now yield our free will to the will of the Father. And we now ask the Father, Lord, change my will, change my heart, so that I'm in line and in step with you. Reform and change me and change my thinking so that what I believe and what I see is through your eyes, through your way. Because, and this is a process of now opening yourself up for God to do that work in you. So on the side of forgiveness, for example, practically, I remember something God taught me with that one. The prayer God taught me was, Lord, I see in your word that you instruct me to forgive. But my flesh and my soul have a really hard time doing this. But I choose of my free will to forgive. In line with your word, and I ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, empower me to forgive and to release and to let go. But I make that choice to line my life up with your word, and I ask that you make this change in me. So refuse to hold on to anything that you know is not God's will and plan and purpose for your life. Refuse, now that you're running the race, to your right to wear ankle weights. Refuse, now that you're running the race, to have weights on. It becomes real when it now affects life and your reality while you're living here. I was talking to a friend of mine recently that works with the prisons. And he was telling me about this inmate that's now going to be released. This the prisoner that's going to be released. And this man was on a life sentence. For killing a little girl. And from that time, since that time, this man came to Jesus. And it looks like he will be coming out of jail. And this friend of mine, who works with prisoners, he said, I have a real hard time with this. Because he says, I have a daughter. I have a little girl. What if it was my daughter? What happens now when life becomes real and this word has to become practical? What happens now when it's real and now this has to become the reality that you now draw your way of relating to this world from? Psalms 103 and verse 12. This is Psalms 103 and verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so He hath removed our transgressions from us." Okay, if God has removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west, do you give the same allowance for the people that you know that have made mistakes? Or do you continue to remind them? Do you continue to keep that tally of what they did? Okay, now the word is clashing with the world and what we've thought. If for some reason, and maybe it's the whole world, but in Sri Lanka very strongly, people cannot seem to get away from what they did. People remember what you did when you were 5. So when you were 5 years old, you burned down your mother's bonchi tree. It would be a bean, sorry. But I mean, the world keeps track. Whereas those that are people of the kingdom, we release and let go. All is dead on the cross. And we receive a new life in Christ Jesus. Do you see people based on their new life? Brothers from Powerhouse. Is a drug addict ever really free from that? Or are they always still in the back of your head? Because ultimately here, now down to your life, now down to my life, on a practical individual level, if I can't see people the way that God sees them, I now am missing out on the abundant life that Jesus Christ intended for me to have. If I can't respond to life in this world the way that Christ Jesus does to me and lives while He was here, how will I ever experience that peace and that joy that He wants? How will I ever know what He offers if I continue to hold on to part of this world, part of my soul, part of something that I won't let go of? So it's a simple one. As far as the east is from the west, God's removed your sins from you, your transgressions from you. So if you bring them back together, What are you missing now? See, God desires that we live free. That we live a whole life. Today is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait for God to split the sky. Right now you can know what life is. When he was speaking to Moses, he said, and when Moses said, "Whom shall I say send me?" I'm the guy that will show up sometime in the future, maybe. Is that what he called himself? Nope, what did he call himself? Whom shall I say send me? Someone bold. I am. That's right. Right now. God is right now. Ever present. Eternal life right now. To know God right now. To know freedom right now. To be released from your bondage right now. To be released from whatever holds you now. The will you let it go? Will we release and let go? That is the decision that we get to make. See, when we were made and fashioned in God's image, we were also given this amazing ability of free will and choice. And you and I get to choose. So Jesus Christ said, "I came that they might have life and have it to the full." He came that we might have abundant life. But we get to choose whether you want to receive it and whether you want to live in it. He will not force it on anyone. You choose. Do you want to live in bondage? Or do you want to live free? Do you want to know what God's plan and purpose is for you now in this life? Or are you content with the leftovers? So this is the choice that you make. And if you look at life and where you are right now in life, if something's missing, now ask the Father. And let Him search your soul. And let Him live and live in you and reveal these things. And in that submission process to Him, you are now opening yourself up for that life. It's for your best good, for my best good, for our best interest. Because even back to when Jesus said, you know, "Come unto me all you who are weary and heavy laden," yes? You get tired from running with weights. Religion will wear you out. Soulish thinking will wear you out. Bondage in our minds will wear you out. There's some things even for me recently where I've realized in scripture, I'm like, Lord, I want you to make this change in the way that I think. Because I see a place now where my thoughts don't line up with yours. And now I realize a place where I'm missing something that God has for me. So what's my choice? Do I hold on to the way that I've always thought? And seek to justify that? I've got a right to think this way. Don't I have a right to think this way? It's a godly way. I'm using my preacher voice now. just like this, down deep here. Sorry. Okay. Or do I choose to allow now God to invade and overcome that area in my thoughts and in my minds now that He's revealed it to me? Realizing that what He wants from me is abundant life, yes, I choose that. I yield. I won't justify my right to anything. I would rather choose life, choose truth, choose His way and go with it. Okay. So, time goes fast, so we'll stop there for now. We make choice, and we get to live with the consequence of our choice, whether it be good or bad. So this day we choose life. Okay.